This is Fresh Air. The producer and director who adapted E.M. Forster's novel Room with a View have made a new movie based on Forster's 1910 novel Howard's End. My guest Emma Thompson stars with Anthony Hopkins, Vanessa Redgrave, and Helena Bonham Carter. Emma Thompson is best known in America for her double role in Dead Again as an amnesiac and a concert pianist. Her co-star was her husband, Kenneth Branagh, who also directed the film. They've worked together many times in Branagh's Renaissance Theatre Company, as well as in his film adaptation of Henry V. In England, Thompson is also well known for her TV comedy series, which ran recently on some American public television stations. She got her start in comedy when she was a student at Cambridge performing in the Footlights Revue, which also spawned Monty Python's Flying Circus. Thompson was also a member of Cambridge's first women's revue.
Well, it wasn't a women's, there's a group as such. It was literally four women who got together and said, well, let's do an all-female review, which was called Woman's Hour, which is the name of a radio programme in England, which is very popular. It's on every day and discusses everything, you know, every topic under the sun. And it wasn't agitprop as such, you know, it wasn't a feminist review. It was just the first all-female review ever to have been staged in Cambridge. And we wrote it and directed it and put it all together, all of us together. And it went very well. It was a wonderful experience. Very interesting. Very interesting. Because it's such a male bastion.
Well, you know, all the universities with male theatre groups do a lot of drag.
Yeah.
In the comedy and probably in the other theatre as well. So did you do drag in yours and dress as men and be men?
No. Oddly enough, we found it perfectly possible to do a whole review without doing drag.
Right. Without any men at all.
Astonishingly. I think that kind of started something because since there's been a lot more women coming up through the comedy ranks, if you like. I think you've always had the edge on us in America with comedy and female participation in that side of things, and you have a lot of female stand-ups, brilliant female stand-ups, and over the water we're not so hot really. There's a few really brilliant people, female people, in the comedy area, but it's still very, very much male dominated, which is what I suppose one of the reasons why we did it. And then I carried on writing bits and bobs within the review groups that I was working, and then wrote a review series of my own for television, which was a very interesting experience.
Could you give us a sense of one of the sketches that you did that you thought was
a good one?
A good one, yeah.
My favourite sketch is about a woman who's in an art gallery, and she's looking at all these pictures. It's one of those art galleries where there's, you know, there's wine and cheese going on. And she's terribly nice. She's called Marjorie. And you see her standing there for quite some time looking at somebody much smaller than her, who she approaches after a while and says, you know, hello, and this is lovely, isn't it? And it's warm for once. You don't often get balmy nights in England. It's lovely, isn't it? And she's just a little bit uncertain of herself, you know, and she's looking at all these pictures and saying, they're lovely, aren't they? Sort of blue and things. And then she looks at this person, she says, I'm terribly sorry, I don't know your name. Ho Piet Minh. Ho? Oh, you're Vietnamese. Oh, how lovely. Hello, I'm Marjorie. And then she pauses for a while. She says, are you a boat person? Oh, how marvellous. How exciting. I've never met her yet. How was the journey? And so it goes on. And she discovers through the course of one of those awful middle-class conversations where somebody is desperately trying to empathise with a person who's had such terrible experiences that it's simply not possible to make those connections. And also, of course, deeply patronising. I mean, it was inspired by Lenny Bruce's How to Relax Your Coloured Friends at Parties. And then she discovers at the end that he is, in fact, the artist. And she discovers that all this time she's been talking to a person in that way that you do, and you do find yourself doing it sometimes, terribly patronising, kind of, you're not a real human being, are you? You're not the same as me. You have no status here. And she suddenly realises that she's standing in the middle of all his work.
My guest is actress Emma Thompson. She stars in the new film Howard's End, and she starred in the recent film Dead Again. More after the short break. This is Fresh Air. Actress Emma Thompson is my guest. We've been talking about class during this interview, the class of your characters and how their class enters into how they see themselves and how they behave with other people. Where do you fit in socioeconomically in England?
I am obviously, I'm middle class, but from a slightly unusual background. My father was working class British English. Home counties boy who had a, you know, a country accent and came from round Horsham, which is a little villages, about, say, 2 hours away from London, and went to drama school. He was born to my grandmother, who had a very interesting history. She was born in 1900 and went into service when she was 12 as a tweeny, i.e. an under housemaid. And she worked as a housemaid in lots of different places. And then when she was about 16 or 17, she went to work for this childless couple who, this was just during the beginning of the First World War, and the wife was very frightened of the Zeppelins that used to come over, and she used to go and stay with her mother in Brighton. And while she was away, the husband would exercise his droit du seigneur and have his way with my grandmother, who didn't really know what was going on, having not had any kind of education and being entirely in the hands of this rather unscrupulous employer. And she became pregnant by him, and the couple offered to take the child, and she said no, and was taken in by her family, who were extremely understanding about it. And they discovered that this couple had tried the same thing with several other maids, who had all said no and taken their children. And I think it was a sort of form of early surrogate motherhood, you know. They couldn't have children, and so this was the method by which they'd chosen to try and, as it were, adopt one. And my mother was born into a Scottish Presbyterian background, very peculiar. She had five, her mother and four very strange aunts, who tended to die in odd places, like on Glasgow Central Station and in the linen department of Harrods. And they were a very eccentric family, Scottish, deeply Scottish, very large women with red hair, called things like Urelda and May and Ella. So a colourful background. And her grandfather was a vicar, you know, a rector in a Scottish church. So my grandmother was the daughter of a churchman, and she married a journalist. But both my parents came from broken homes, which was interesting. Both their parents' marriages split up.
Pretty colourful background.
It's a colourful and interesting background, and it's kind of difficult to put it into particularly class-conscious context, because both my parents did this strange thing of going to drama school, which in those days was not quite as glamorous as it is now. And both of them used to bemoan the fact that acting had become so terribly respectable. They didn't think that was a very good idea at all. They liked the roving, slightly untrustworthy nature that had been kind of attached, associated with actors before that. And I tend to agree with them. I think actors are accorded far too much importance. So by default, we are middle class, solidly middle class. And because they were both in the theatre, my background was extremely tolerant and interesting and surrounded by actors who never patronise children. They never talk down to you. I can remember Kenneth Williams telling me not to get drunk on champagne when I was, because it would give me the worst hangover. When I was very young, about nine. And it was so wonderful from that point of view. I can remember very clearly discovering at about the age of 19 that, for instance, homosexuality was not widely accepted, and being terribly shocked.
Sounds like your parents were almost bohemian.
Yes, I suppose it was a very liberal, free-thinking, but not bohemian intellectual, like, for instance, the Wolfs, not Bloomsbury, right. Not nearly as aristocratic as that, or patrician, very much more down to earth, I'd say.
Can I ask you how you met Kenneth Branagh, the actor who is also your husband?
Sure. We were doing The Fortunes of War, which was a long 9-month shoot based on the Balkan trilogy by Olivia Manning, which was is a great big long book about a couple, a young couple recently married, who make a journey to Romania at the beginning of the Second World War and become caught up in the movements of, you know, the Axis troops were moving towards Britain. So, of course, they keep on having to move further west to escape. And it's the portrait of a marriage of a extremely, not an unhappy, necessarily unhappy marriage, but a less than perfect marriage. And fascinating to play. One of those things where, you know, it's 7 hours television, so it's very much a detailed examination of a relationship. And so that's when. So there's plenty of time for us to get to know each other.
Did you try to keep your relationship a secret from the people you were working with, afraid that it would kind of intrude on either their perceptions of you or on your performances?
Not really, because it didn't become that kind of relationship. It didn't become an established relationship while that was going on. It wasn't like that. It was much more, you know, the mating dance. You
right.
Know what I mean, you know, a couple of birds bouncing up and down, you know.
You've worked together a lot.
Mm.
Some couples really don't like to work together and find that they need to really separate the marriage or the relationship from the work. Mm. What works for it with you?
I don't know. I just think we're very lucky, and I don't know whether it'll last. I mean, heaven knows when we come to do the next thing together, it might not work, and if so, we'll have to say, okay, well, it's time to have a bit of time apart. And we certainly don't plan necessarily to work together, although we like to keep the work in parallel, you know. So, for instance, when Ken is doing theatre, I will try and do theatre as well so that we're both at home at the same time. And try not to do, for instance, a 3-month movie somewhere else. So I'm not going to see him for 3 months because we really don't enjoy that at all. Although I do, I think that it's good to go from one thing to the other. I work together and then separate and then work together again. Don't do it continuously. And indeed, we don't. It may seem like it, but we don't.
I want to skip ahead to the movie Dead Again, which I know a lot of our listeners saw. And the movie was, just a couple of questions about this, the movie was set in two different periods. What was it like to see yourself as the 1940s version of yourself shot in the style of Hollywood glamour of the period?
Oh, it was the biggest thrill you can imagine. Just the biggest thrill, because if it hadn't been for Ken, obviously, and Paramount having the good faith and indeed sort of taking the chance on me, on casting me, because they didn't really know anything about me, I would never have had that experience doing a very American kind of movie in Hollywood at Paramount Studios, being allowed to drive in through those gates and actually allowed to work there. It was absolutely fantastic. And it was wonderful going back to that era in American history, but particularly in Los Angeles in history of the 1940s. In fact, just after the war, when everybody was so happy. So it was, you know, the war was over and parties were everywhere, and glamour really did exist then, because the movie system had created stars and the whole notion of stars and how stars lived and how they behaved and walk-downs and glamorous balls and a kind of glamour that's completely gone now. And somehow it's all taken too seriously now, you know. I don't think there's nearly enough dressing up. I think it's all disappeared in some odd way. And stars are going more underground now.
Actress Emma Thompson, she stars in the new film, Howard's End.